So a few things we're going to cover today. We're looking at headlines and things we're going to talk about that relate to everyday life of you and how you're going to operate. America's richest self-made woman grew up on a dairy farm. Now she has a net worth of $11 billion. What else are we looking at? Millionaire shares 4 unpopular money rules that made him rich. Don't buy anything you can lease. By the way, everything we talk about on this show is reacted in real time. I don't want anyone to know what we're talking about. He has something for me that we're going to react to in real time. This is authenticity, baby. This is Alpha Uncut. Alpha Uncut. Why is it uncut? Because what I just said, authenticity across the board. Nobody knows nothing about what's going to happen on these microphones until we hit record, period. It's the way you're going to love it. And you're going to feel it. You feel it. People feel authenticity. This lady says, I just work 4 hours a week. This 39-year-old makes 160 grand a month in passive income. Look at his typical day. Beautiful. I want to know what this guy's doing. 139 grand a month or 160 grand a month. Not bad, right?
160 grand a month?
Yeah, that's it.
Oh,
no biggie. So anyways, these are some of the things we're talking about. So anyways, I'm going to introduce the show here. This is Alpha Uncut. Those are some of the things we're going to talk about. I wanted to make sure you stuck around. We are the show for capitalists, entrepreneurs, people who are curious. We talk about a lot more than capitalism and entrepreneurship. Aliens, you know, all kinds of fun stuff.
Sure.
Fringe topics, someone said recently. And I was like, yeah, that's right. Fringe top. I do
we're
love
not
fringe
afraid
topic.
Of anything.
This is Joey Rance over here. Okay. No, not. Yeah. Joey Rance in the red. Okay.
Beard's coming back.
Joey Red Rance. He looks sharp, though. Come on. The guy's beautiful.
Get rid of the mustache look.
And we got young Dean over here. Extra crispy. Look at him. Look at it. So anyways, this is Alpha Uncut. If you're listening, you can watch on YouTube and back and forth on the thing. So
we were talking about headlines.
We were talking about headlines. Yeah. And did you have a headline you said from your brother?
I just had a quick, my brother and I had a quick exchange this morning. You know, he and I both have our morning routines.
Yeah.
Minus kids walk out the door. I have my one cup of coffee.
He goes through headlines and what? What do you got?
So, of course, one of the big headlines this morning was Russia.
Okay.
That's Putin.
Yeah.
Right. You know, did you read about it a little bit?
Yeah.
This is unsolicited. My brother and I haven't shared a word. That's part of the delivery is why it's funny.
Let me see.
And my brother's passive. You know, like he's not a big.
He's
not me. He's mellow.
Yeah, he is.
He just sends me this paragraph and I laughed pretty hard. Let me see. Putin/Russia is such a joke. Putin made a speech and is calling up 300,000 reservists to fight in Ukraine and threaten the use of nuclear weapons on the West. Who the fuck do you think you are, Putin? Ukraine is 3% of your size and on your fucking border, and you can't even get anything done. The U.S. routinely fights major conflicts on the other side of the planet. LOL. We're not scared of you.
Now, who said that?
My brother.
Oh, okay.
Which I thought was... seems to be struggling with a country the size of Texas, which is great, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, Zelensky
until he starts unleashing nukes, but...
But he's barking dog, and my brother's just saying, we're not scared of you, buddy. Most of your arsenal is rusting in ports, and you're making these big, bold claims against the West.
Yeah.
Yeah, but just he's not.
I have a unique view on Putin. I have a unique view on Putin, and I want to go there. I think on today's show. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, now's the
time.
You
do or don't. You do or don't.
I don't think we want to go.
Oh, you don't.
We don't. I don't want to go on there today. Okay. Let's go to some business stuff here. Okay. So, and by the way, before that, I want to talk to you. So, a friend of mine lives in Colombia. We're talking about cost of living. Someone was saying stuff is because we were getting something done, and it was like $13. You couldn't believe that for $13, you can have some like. Professionally mastered audio tracks and things like that. It's
well,
you know,
it's done in like the Philippines,
Indonesia.
A lot of India.
This one is not. It's actually a lady in America.
Okay. Yeah. Anyways, the point is, a friend of mine lives in Colombia and he's been there for a little bit. So he showed me his apartment for $850 a month. This is like penthouse status downtown, like the craziest of crazy, includes everything, which is an absolute steal. I mean, that would be thousands and thousands and thousands. He said for $15 a day. He has a full-time cook and a full-time cleaner. Total, $15 a day. Full-time cook, full-time cleaner. Come on, that's bananas.
Friend of mine's brother lives there.
By Colombia? He lives in Medellin. Shout out to Kimanzi. You know Medellin. Who you are. Medellin, Colombia. But the point is, it's a beautiful city. He loves it. And again, we did the math. It's about a tenth of the cost. So whatever you do here for $100, you can do for $10 there.
One of my close buddies had back in my underwriting days, we wouldn't even approve people who are traveling to Colombia the next year.
Oh, really?
But Colombia's come a long way.
Yeah. No, he loves it.
One of my best buddies had a family wedding in Colombia like 2 years ago in Cartagena. And he was like,
okay,
it was everything you're saying.
No, it's people love it there. He absolutely, it's stunning across the board. Believe it or not, a lot of like American expat, like, you know, vagabond type entrepreneurs love living in Colombia.
I feel like I'm going to go there. Seriously. I feel like with my current net worth, which is insane, you know, I'm
multiply it times 10 and that's what you'll look like.
I'm pretty sure in like 5 years, Meg and I could head there for the rest of our lives. Seriously. And live like sultans.
Dude, if you make 50K a year, you're making half a mil. You make 100K, it's like making a million. I mean, so seriously. What?
You go there with three or four mil
basically in the bank. Two grand a month, you're living like a king.
You go with three or four mil.
At
age 50.
Yeah, you're
50, live like a king for the rest of your life.
And that's not hyperbole. That's an actual fact.
What are the odds? Charter fish. Do whatever you want every day.
That's right.
What are the odds of somebody who
And then I asked him about safety, and he's like, no problem. He goes, because I was like, you stand out. He's like, doesn't matter. I'm gold.
Well, for those prices, you could hire private security.
That's what are the odds of somebody who lives there making it from rags to riches?
As far as like coming up in that society, obviously it's more poverty stricken and it's tougher. That's why a lot of American expats love it, because they make their wealth over here and they just go down there, which, by the way,
probably will help their economy.
It's a beautiful thing because he's just flushing a lot of American dollars through the Colombian economy. So it is a win. It's not like, oh, this rich person comes here and that's a good thing.
He's heading down there. He's spending his money. He's employing people.
That's right.
He's not causing problems. He's looking for leisure.
That's right. It's a total win for everybody.
You're right. This is speaking with no experience on this, but the Horatio Alger rags to riches quintessential story has got to be very difficult. There's no way the opportunity that America. Yeah.
They don't have a Bill of Rights that get to be protected and all these other things.
They don't have capitalism.
That's what makes it so hard to hear people here talk about, oh, it's so hard, I can't get ahead of the rest.
Yeah.
Nowhere else in history has there been more opportunity.
We know that.
Do you have the actual ability?
Yeah.
These people, it's so hard. Okay, it's hard. It's hard.
Yeah.
But in 90% of the world, it's an impossibility.
Correct.
You can't. It's not even on the table.
So I'll take
hard. You couldn't do it with 100 hours a week.
Give me hard because I'll take that over impossible.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see the clip for Uncle Tom 2 yet? Did you see the clip yet?
No, but did what's his name make it? Larry Elder? Did he make it?
I believe so.
Because he made Uncle Tom 1, I think. Yeah, but I do want to see that. Wow. And it talks about, it basically is saying how the black community is flocking to the conservative party and ideologies, right? Is that more or less?
It also shows a lot of the black community that lived better than they're talking about back in the day. And they have pictures of all this.
I think we've had a skewed view of history. I really do. In fact, I mean, statistically speaking, and I think we touched on this in the show, during Jim Crow, which is crazy, black families, black children were more born in wedlock than white children. Like 77% of like black children were born inside of marriage. And like
that's what
white people weren't even born in that high of a wedlock. And post Jim Crow, with all these new like a lot of subsidy and programs, actually reversed it, because again they said you can't get paid if there's a father in the home, you know, welfare. Right. And that's how this it's like common sense. But yeah. They were
pre that era. I think nuclear family, because culturally they're very strong.
Yeah,
that community is very strong, very faith based.
Of course.
Once the nuclear family, I mean, those families thrived.
The plot of breaking up the families. Yeah. And what about the Don? Did you see the Don Lemon clip with the lady from Europe?
Yes, I did, with the reparations and things. Wow. And she's like, let's go back to the roots. And I mean, Don Lemon's a dunce. Point blank, he's a dunce. In fact, they purged him, I think, from, you know, CNN.
You got to see.
You know, CNN is going through some kind of purge of all this.
Oh, yeah. They're flipping.
The new ownership, I think one of the main board members is a Trump supporter. The CEO is more conservative. And I think they realized being woke isn't good for business.
Well, yeah. Don Lemon was just taken off of primetime and he had that whole speech about, oh, I'm not being fired and blah, blah, blah. He's off of primetime.
I mean, look at the dominoes fall. We got Chris Cuomo, which they said it was because he was colluding with his brother on that thing.
Which he was.
But who else? There's a couple other terminations. Stelter, who was the ultimate joke.
Oh, my God. We've talked about him. How did...
He's a clown.
Who decided that face? That's the face we want on primetime TV.
I mean, sir.
His voice, his face, his manners.
Literal clown.
His default mannerism was condescending.
Yeah. How are you a mainstream media newscaster? It doesn't even make sense.
Right.
And then you got Lemon being purged and a couple other terminations.
They're sick of it, man. People can't handle it anymore.
Ultra left wokeism doesn't work. And they tried it. The problem is capitalism actually corrected them. Less people are. Here's the deal. That's why I love capitalism. Because what happens is people start changing the channel. What happens when you change the channel? People don't watch the ads that actually pay for the station. Mm-hmm.
It's a financial model that works.
You're right. It's capitalism.
The capitalism antidote is infiltrating the bloodstream.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
The commercials stop airing, except in case anyone's wondering, right. The way those channels make money is by selling ad space between the bits, right. Commercials. And by the way, we all know that.
And that's the whole ball game.
And the true reality of what happens to our country if we keep going down this road. People are starting to realize this can't be sustained.
That's right. And the byproduct of, you know, boycotts work. And I mean, here's the thing. It wasn't even an organized boycott. They were so far left that the average American was just like, I'm done with
this
shit.
That's the capitalism part.
Right.
Can you even imagine a time, you know, I envision the 30s or 40s or 20s, you know, with the brimmed hats and the press car. Can you even, this is a serious question. Can you even imagine a time where the press had true virtue and true moral?
Beautiful time.
It's hard for me to even envision that being a reality, though, because we're so far from now. Now it's just all driven by.
It's all narrative.
Clicks and narrative and huge explosive reactions. And I think there was probably a time where the journalism was actually driven by honor. And I want to get this story right.
Well, it definitely was.
The public deserves to know the actual truth. And we've talked about this.
And what a cool field. I actually feel like in a different life, I believe I would have fun with that. Like getting the objective truth out to the public, questioning the people in power. Like, don't get it twisted. The freedom of the press, the First Amendment, et cetera, the freedom of speech, freedom of press. The press was created for one thing, to hold people in power accountable by asking them the hard questions and making sure that they were telling the truth to the public. They had to be the filter for the powerful people and filter through to bring objectivity, because everyone in power is going to say things that they're personally biased towards. If I'm the king, I'm going to say shit that promotes me being a better king. And it's their job to say, excuse me, king, that's questionable. I don't like that, et cetera, et cetera.
And it was more especially important then as well, because there were, you can make the argument other way, but there was less medium to there was the newspaper. True. Basically. Right. Very true. That was it. Print. Very true.
And right. You think it could have been much
but
worse.
Not, yeah, that but way. Now you would argue there should be more integrity because there it can be.
Right. Well, the internet democratized the press. I'm the press. You're the press. I am the media.
The show.
I have a camera in a freaking.
How about this thing. Show right here?
Yeah. I mean, I'm saying even outside of someone who sets up a podcast studio, everyone is the media. If I'm at a shooting or something and I start going like this on Facebook Live or whatever it may be, that's media. And I'm conveying objective news to the public that gets shared a million times, et cetera. So the internet democratized it, but the downside, we talked about this.
We're back to the Google and Facebook and how they can control it.
That's right. And that's the issue. That's the issue. The internet is still centralized. Mark Zuckerberg's
not had a good couple weeks.
Yeah, no. Well, he took over.
He lost like $60 billion personally.
$60 billion personally?
Something like that from his stock shares. Well, I think he owns 350 million shares of Facebook.
Well, he learned his lesson. He got his hand slapped so hard. He's like, yeah, I think I'm going to stay out of the politics thing. I'm not going to do the election funding thing. Stop it. He needs to stop it.
If you watch any TV, the commercials are out of control. They will have two from one side, two from the other side.
All in a row.
It's bad.
Yeah.
It's so bad.
Like in our state, I see Ron Johnson and Mandela Barnes constantly.
Oh my God.
Pulling that milk jug out of that.
That's a lie. In his kitchen. That's a lie. They're going to make up lies about
it. I immediately thought everything you're saying is a lie.
Right.
Because I can watch the videos of you with here's the polished ice written on your shirt.
I know.
I never said that.
Here's the problem with ads. You can literally make up anything you want in an ad. And the problem
There's no integrity anymore.
The problem is not everybody's like us. You know,
right.
I don't dive deep into the news cycle like I used to. Yeah. But I pay attention to what's important. And I don't us three, ads aren't going to sway our decision because we are informed citizens. The problem I have is we have a very uninformed citizenry. The masses are not. So they'll watch an ad on YouTube about Mandela Barnes or Ron Johnson and look at for that 30 seconds and be like, oh, that's what he believes in and stand for. And it's like, and we know people like this.
Let me respond to that.
And it's old people, especially.
Yes.
Where they're like, I don't know about
Mandela
Barnes. I'm like,
that's
I
what
do.
A, He's that's terrible. What upsets me about both sides is that we've come to a place where you almost have to do that to keep getting your
it's
votes.
It's an American duty almost at this point to have some kind of being informed.
Right.
On your own.
Because you take one of those.
It's an American duty.
I watched both sides and I saw the sentence pulled out. They pulled the sentence out. Both sides did it. And
They did it to Tim Michaels.
Oh my
God. Did you see that?
About the abortion?
It looked photo or video chopped.
It did.
Literally, he was like, so
that, when there's like, that's correct. It was like a different shift in lighting.
Shot. I know, it was so obvious. So you don't care if women get raped, and then they're like, it was, that's correct.
I'm pretty sure they were asking him, do you like sugar in your coffee? That's correct.
You're right. Right. Seriously.
Take that one. Because he looks happy and passionate. That's correct.
You don't have to say one.
But I'll admit, I'll give credit. But it's smarmy.
It's done on both sides. Oh, both sides do it, which is unfortunate. And
stupid.
That's what,
it's stupid.
You made a great,
actually, but yes.
Dino, we met Tim Michaels personally, and I.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Well, I like to think I'm a pretty good judge of character.
He's not promoting rape. Come on, that's crazy. Dino,
he was a good dude.
It probably happened somewhere in his company once by one person, and maybe it didn't turn out.
But they're chopping up videos. Maybe.
There might not even be that.
The real point is you brought up a good point. It kind of at this point is an American duty to do some homework to understand what's going on.
Well, it always
because
is.
If you sit there and wait for the ads to come out, especially pre-election where it's pure lies, only lies are on ads. It's unfortunate because people go out to a ballot box and they go into the voting booth based on the commercials they saw. That makes me, that pisses
me off. It really chips
off.
Away at my hope for the country, it though, is what I'm off, saying. It chips away at hope for the country.
I would, at the very minimum, say that it's your American duty, if you're hoping to choose correctly, to ignore all that.
Yeah.
Yes. Maybe don't do any research of your own or don't vote or whatever, which I think is a travesty.
Well, it's in your face. How do you ignore it?
At minimum, it's
every commercial break.
Just ignore that.
And you know,
that's going to be all misinformation. Hey,
and like you
all
said,
that's going to be bullshit.
Do you know who sees it? The elderly people who sit on the TV during the day and watch commercials.
They watch their stories.
Yep. And they'll ask questions.
Their stories.
She's like, I don't know about that Mandela Barnes. I'm like, I do. Come on. Dude, this is terrible. It sucks because. Yeah. Okay.
I want to go back to one thing we said before.
Quickly about
reparations.
Oh, yeah.
Because I kind of scoffed, and I don't mean to, like, you know, obviously people have been wronged in history, and I don't believe that rights shouldn't be wrong necessarily. But reparations in general is just so tricky because, and it, I think it was Don Lemon, but somebody else was just, Trevor Noah was talking about it. It's like,
yeah.
Do you guys understand that reparations means basically at its root righting a wrong?
Correct. Yeah.
Where do you start with
Where do you
that?
Start? Where do you well, stop?
Joy, well, Joey, you didn't see the clip. You didn't see the clip. Nick, explain the clip. I mean,
there have been so many wrongs to so many sects of people and groups of people over history.
Well, that too.
Where do you start and where do you stop?
Well, there was
not that it's not due or that these people were wrong.
You're asking the
slavery was a travesty, of course.
Sometimes in
absolutely
life,
absolutely terrible. But I,
sometimes the best part. You said something beautiful. Sometimes in life, with complicated situations, the best answer is more of a sophisticated question. You just asked a good question of where do you stop? For example, in the Native American history, there's people that talk about Native American reparations. They get to build casinos and do things on the reservation, blah, blah, blah. But then there's the argument of different Native Americans conquered other ones on that same land.
We've talked
Where do you
about
trace
that.
Back? You stop at this tribe? Well, so on, this tribe conquered them.
The right Where of you, conquest.
So the point is that there's no exact answer. I think the real thing is what you said, which is the real almost answer is where do you stop? History is a long timeline going backwards. It really is. And unfortunately, I mean, they're just where do you start? Where do you stop? You were going to say something or no?
Talks about that a lot. He calls it the right of conquest. And I'm going to butcher these names so nobody comment on this, but he'll be like, well, where do you stop? Native Americans, for example. Well,
they were conquerors
the
within conquerors.
Took it from the Pueblo.
That's
the Pueblo
right.
took it from the...
That is a fact.
The Sioux. The Sioux took it from the Lakota. I don't know anything about Native Americans, so I'm butchering
those
names.
You're making the point,
but
though.
Over thousands of years,
they
conquered each other. And so how far back do you go? How do you even know how far back to go?
How do you
trace the line?
Here's one of the bottom lines to that, which is reparations are incalculable.
Well, so how do you do it?
You don't.
And also, they won't help anybody long term.
Well, right. It's not right. It's not solving. It's some kind of karmic thing more than anything, but it's not a solution to the problem. Speaking of ancient tribes and everything, there's a book. Ooh. I have my four or five books that I'm constantly in, and one of them is called America Before. Kind of intriguing. This is where we go on a couple different topics. It's not a capitalist topic. This is an intriguing fringe
history,
but I like pseudo history. I like the fringe history. I like pseudo. I like discovery. So for example, this book is called America Before. It's by a great author, Graham Hancock, who I'd love to have on the show. He's just too big probably at this point, but he's been on Rogan many times.
He ain't got time for us.
So basically, I'm going to ask you guys a question. How long have humans been in North America for?
What's your guess? Believe me, you're not like wrong or right.
I mean, my brain wants to go to Leif Erikson to.
Well, no, let's talk like how many years ago?
I
mean, the classic story is Columbus came in 1492 and then there were Indians here, say, quote like, unquote.
The Norwegians or people.
Give me a timeline.
I would say like 8th century or 9th century.
Is this a theory or is this just claiming factual?
I want to know when you think we should talk humans about, arrived in the West.
We have to talk about the Bering Strait land bridge. Forever.
Hold on. What?
The Bering Strait land bridge.
Okay.
You know, people emigrated over the land bridge when that was
how many years ago was that? Just take a guess.
You know, I just had to like based on very
there's
little,
no answer here.
No, but I would say 2000 BCE.
I mean, are we guessing there's a place where
4,000 years ago?
This also says that there's a place where people started. Like,
yeah.
The Holy Land. Well, they started in the Holy Land.
The Middle East.
Yes.
Mainstream history says, and mainstream archaeology says, the Middle East corridor.
Humanoids began.
Maybe that was the documented history.
Hold on. We got to stop talking over each other. Mainstream history says the Middle East is the cradle of civilization. I think that's right now that's the mainstream narrative. Okay. History's tricky. And as you dive into these pseudo scientists and different people discovering things, there's a lot that's wrong. Okay.
I think there's a lot of science that supports that as of now though.
Based on what?
Based on like, you know, Lucy and early humanoids and Australopithecus robustus and skulls and
but how do we know that that was the
found
cradle?
Them mostly there.
Okay, you're talking 4,000 years ago for Western world America. What do you think when humans were in Western America? And by the way, I don't have the answer either, but I want to share some things that I've discovered and read about recently.
I have no idea. My guess would be that humans were sprawled everywhere from the start. I don't know how that started, but I'm gonna guess that this land wasn't just empty for that whole time that they're claiming it is.
So would you say, okay, so way beyond 4,000 years then?
Oh, yeah, thinking. I would.
So the mainstream narrative talks about things that you're talking about timeline-wise. But then what happened was, then something changed factually. It's called the Clovis model. So Clovis, New Mexico, some people found, I think it was in the 90s.
Was it the woolly mammoth too?
What they did was they found the hand tools, the arrowhead type things.
Yeah.
But here's where they found them. Stuck in the bones of woolly mammoth and saber-toothed tigers.
I know all about it.
That terminates the 4,000 years ago thing because that was pre-ice age. Now we're talking 13,000 years ago. Definitive. So now we're talking 10,000 BC and before humans were here fighting woolly mammoths, etc.
I think it was about 10,000 years
ago. That's not rejected anymore. That's accepted as mainstream. But by the way, that was fiercely opposed until it wasn't. That's how science and discovery works.
A friend of mine's dad, his whole thesis, his whole life was the Clovis model.
Seriously?
And then he found a woolly mammoth, I believe it was east of the Clovis model in Kenosha. He found a woolly mammoth. I took the bones to New Mexico, and I told
badass.
You.
That is badass.
I have a really cool woolly mammoth story. So hold on.
Clovis, New Mexico is the city that they first found this in. And then the term got coined, Clovis. So now you're like, you're pre-Clovis, post-Clovis. Clovis is like a big deal in the archaeological world in the Americas.
Yeah.
That's fun. That's cool
really
that you cool. that you coincided with
really
that.
Into that stuff.
It's really intriguing. But real fast, tell me the woolly mammoth story, and then we'll go back further in time.
Biology teacher, college.
Yeah,
he was really big into archaeology and all that type of stuff.
Yeah,
he had been on a couple digs in like Siberia and stuff like that, and he was invited as like an MVP to some Russian oligarch monarchy type thing. And I'll make this short, real short. They had like dinner or whatever, and they had their desserts. And then the guy came out and I have something special for you. And this is all guys who are archaeologists from all over the world. People have been digging up bones forever. And everybody got to eat like a sugar cube sized piece of woolly mammoth.
Come on.
Yeah.
What?
They're like, we'd like to offer you. They like seared it and they're like.
Of meat.
Preserved. Because they find a lot of them in Siberia.
Yeah. Like frozen.
Yeah.
Come on.
So you could tell people I've eaten woolly mammoth.
That's insane.
That's
because you're talking.
He's like, it tasted like tofu. Nothing. There was nothing left.
You're talking 10,000 plus 10,000 BC preservation.
A lot of people think that's super gross, but I was like, that's kind of cool.
I would have eaten it.
Me too.
I would have eaten that.
Who here's eaten woolly mammoth? Me.
Yeah.
After that little story, you don't even remember what you're going to say.
I do because my brain is being more functional because I'm doing a few things that are making I'm working out more and I'm eating a little better and cleaner, so my mind is a little sharper. Okay. Actually, for me, fasting sometimes between the day makes my mind ultra beautiful. I discovered it by accident.
Cold showers in the morning.
I skipped a few lunches and breakfast, and all of a sudden I don't eat till 5, and I'm like, why do I think so straight? Oh my God.
Did you get into the
fasting? And then I Googled it.
Nothing like it.
Have you followed any of this circadian rhythm stuff
yet? Right. Hold on, though. So I want to go back to Clovis. Now there's a pre-Clovis thing.
as we know in science and archaeology, stuff is fiercely opposed until it's not. If you question the mainstream narrative, you realize, like, I mean, we're going back to like Copernicus, the Catholic Church freaking wanted to kill him or whatever, or Galileo, because he was saying, wait, the earth isn't in the middle of the universe. I mean, that's a fact, okay?
It's possible. Yeah, I'm not saying it is. It's possible. Kill him.
Your reputation can get annihilated as like a scientist or archaeologist if you question. So then pre-Clovis, it's like, wait, hold on, America. So Clovis is like the 12, 13,000 years ago, last ice age situation. That was like the norm, but now there's things coming up. Basically, they're talking 130,000 years, humans in America. That blew my mind. And they're coming up with this stuff with the mastodon, and I'm not deep enough into the study yet. Which is
still just a glimpse of time on the earth.
It is.
Have you seen at the Milwaukee Public Museum, which is a shame.
I was just there the other day.
Did you, before we get into the T-Rex, there's a board. It kind of looks like they try to put all of time into a month calendar.
All those ancient civilizations.
Yeah. And it shows like if known time since Earth existed was represented as calendar.
Oh, it's like a dot.
Humans would show up at 12:59 p.m. on the 31st.
Yeah.
And then it shows.
Yes.
And so we talk about, you know,
same North with the football America. Field. You're on you're fourth in inches and the rest of the field is like time.
It's even if it were 120,000, 130,000 years that we've been inhabiting. Sliver. It's not even it's a sliver of a
sliver of a sliver. About
billions of years. It is so small.
It's nothing. But it's also intriguing to know that, whoa, we have a whole new history of America we have to discover. That is intriguing.
Absolutely. And it's also intriguing that most of what's happened technologically, advancements and everything have happened in that sliver.
Yeah.
Scary.
So what they're doing to discover this is they're finding. And again, we don't have to go too deep into this, but now that I know this, now my brain is like, I have to dive deep. I have to, it's a robotic part of my brain that says, oh my God, 130,000 years ago, humans, what else do I dive into to learn more about this? Blah, blah, blah. It's just the way my brain works. So now I need to understand it and I'm going into depth, but a lot of what they're doing is they're finding remains of human activity. It's not as much like the arrowhead in the bone of the woolly mammoth. Now it's more, well, these shavings of this flint over here show that a human had to take this flint and pound it on this thing. And they're going into really deep stuff. And by the way, technology with DNA and things is expanding into where they can find further stuff too. So anyways, if people have been on the American landmass for 130,000 years, I don't know about anyone else. My mind is like, whoa,
dude. Well, and the fact is like, we don't know what happened climactically that could have made all these things disappear almost fully.
Well, we talk Ice Age. There's also a part of, and again, I don't know enough about this to be an authority.
Anybody have an urge to watch Encino Man suddenly?
I'll tell you this. There's another theory that 12 to 13,000 years ago, there was a major cataclysmic event that has been eliminated from all of history. And it happened, a meteor, they think, hit like the Minnesota-Canadian border. And this has not been written in history, but they're finding stuff. There's so much stuff that has not been in our history and archaeology, period. It's actually bananas. So
and,
anyways,
and the truth is, how much does it really matter other than that we should all sit back and say, we really don't know?
Well, we don't know what we're going to know.
Hopefully.
We're making discoveries. Bering Strait, the Pangea, Bering Strait. Yep. I don't know. Since I was
Pangea a kid, makes too much sense to me. Well, I mean, it literally fits together.
Since I'm a kid, I'm like, wait, South America, South America and Africa can just go together?
Yeah.
What am I missing here? You know what I mean? Like stuff like
it's
like,
pretty hard to diffuse.
So between well, that,
at that point, people would have probably, you know, they've been here the whole time.
Well, that's
people are around them.
Well, and like he said, though, the Bering Strait, there was a point where the sea levels coincided with the amount of ice to where someone could cross from, you know, Siberia to Alaska quite easily. And obviously you can't anymore. But there's so many things where it's like, why not? And again, luckily we have pseudo scientists who are on the fringe. Do not underestimate
what people could achieve back then.
Oh, my God.
Have you ever watched this movie or the
especially
story?
Especially out of survival. What if you were in survival mode, you are a different person.
Oh, yeah.
If you know it's live or die, you're going to be Superman. The end.
Yeah. It's like up until like the 70s or 60s, they were sure that Indonesia was populated from Asia.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you ever heard of the story of Kon Tiki. There was this kid who lived in Indonesia and did his doctoral work in Indonesia. Okay. And he was certain. He's like, the cultures and all this stuff, it doesn't match with the Eastern world.
So how was it populated? How did they discover?
So he came up with this theory that it was proven that they didn't have ships or boats. So he came up with this theory that they came from South America. And everybody thought he was nuts. This is what you're talking about when you go in front of like National Geographic Society.
Dude.
I mean, they laughed him out of rooms.
It's career ending annihilation.
Like family line reputation ruining.
Seriously.
And he was certain he was right. and he got the funding and he built a raft with like four of his buddies in like Chile or something and floated on the trade winds with no propulsion of any kind, just like jugs of water and bunches of bananas.
And he did it. Seriously.
It took like 98 days and the trade winds and the current took him right.
Stop it. And that's cool.
This is like 40 years ago. This is not that long ago. 50, 60 that's years
badass.
Ago.
Wow.
I've heard the story.
They made like a B.
That's intriguing.
A B-level movie, which is really well shot. I think it's a Weinstein movie.
Where does his reputation stand now? Because that is a pretty dynamite feat.
Oh, I think he was immediately a celebrity within his field.
Yeah. Like, no, that's dynamite.
Unlimited funding for whatever you want to do for the rest of your
life. I'd like to get the name of that after the show. I think they were
Norwegian guys.
Okay.
Yeah, and he was certain.
There's just so much we don't know. This whole Columbus story.
Willing to risk his life.
Yeah.
To do it. People aren't willing to do that now.
Yeah. Well, some are. I mean, there are a select few, thank God, who are willing to risk reputation in life. I mean, nowadays, I think it's less like maybe life risk and more of like reputation risk. They will go out there and just risk their whole like reputation to be like, I'm right. My theory is legit, et cetera, et cetera. Elon Musk.
He doesn't give a shit.
He doesn't give a shit. Guys like Graham Hancock in the book I'm reading, he doesn't care if he's labeled some pseudoscientist freak.
These guys have heard enough of these stories. But they know that anybody who ever achieves anything has to ignore those people.
That's right. He's literally on the ground in Chile, in Turkey, digging this shit up with his bare hands and his archaeological friends, figuring this shit out. And God bless people like that. Seriously.
Step one to successfully discovering something new, ignore everybody's theory.
You know what? Yeah,
and bullshit.
In fact, you know what he says in this book? He says, if you already have a preconceived notion that humans were not here 130,000 years ago, you are not going to dig and or find anything to confirm that theory.
Because everything will be confirmation bias for you forever.
Correct. Right. Correct. Remove the lens, be objective, and anything is possible. Like in any field in life.
I love people like Elon Musk. And of course, he's getting a lot of flack, and I've always touted him, but
he creates his own world.
He's a human, but he just doesn't give a shit.
He's going to Mars. Yeah.
Or be damned.
And no one's stopping him. He created his own world. And you don't have to be a multi-billionaire, by the way, to be that way. You can be a smaller time financial guy. The bottom line is, and this relates into the way I think about being an entrepreneur and everything else, which is, you can create your own world, and you don't need to be a billionaire. You can make $100,000 a year and create your own world.
You can't quit Northwestern Mutual. It's the golden ticket. You can't do it. What are you going to do then?
Yeah.
I'm going to quit. I'm going to start my own business. And my life's going to be happier. Watch me.
And that's usually the statement that says you probably should do the exact opposite. When enough people say that.
Yeah, people are scared, and rightfully so. It is scary.
Yeah.
But you got to do it.
Well, I heard recently that unless you're ultra rich or in poverty, everything in the middle is slavery. And it makes a lot of sense because you need to pay the bills and you have to listen to the boss or the government or wear your mask inside the thing. And if you don't, you're fired, which means you can't pay the mortgage. If you're at complete poverty, the hell with you. I'll be on the street. I don't give a shit what you say. I'm not going to wear a mask, and vice versa. If you're a billionaire, I'm going to do what I want because I'm independently wealthy. But again, anything in between has a version of slavery to it, which is you got to comply because you need to pay the mortgage. You know, I don't know.
Quick mask conversation. I live in West Dallas, you know.
Yeah.
West Dallas, people gave up on the mask like 14 months
ago. It's pretty right wing over there. Yeah.
I went to Tulsa. What did I have to do?
Tulsa's further left.
I went to the pharmacy.
Which one?
I forget where. I think it was downtown Tulsa.
Okay.
I think that's correct. Whatever it was, it wasn't like Whole Foods.
You're talking recently. Expect
within the last week.
Okay.
I mean, I saw like two workers without masks, so it wasn't a rule.
Right.
But 90% of the patrons and workers still had masks or two on. And I was legitimately bewildered. I thought this was done.
Yeah.
I like called people afterwards. I know. Do you know?
Right.
Oh, it was Ace Hardware in Wauwatosa. It wasn't the pharmacy. It was Ace Hardware, a hardware store too. You would think would be, nope. I was looking around like, is there an outbreak of Ebola or something I don't know about?
It makes no sense. It almost conveys like, I guess part of my critical thinking brain has been extinguished. It kind of like displays your thinking.
It also makes me worried about these fear. People still worried thinking about right,
but
this.
Ruled by fear, I do agree. Both. But how do you let fear just hijack all thinking, which is what it's doing? It hijacks thinking.
There's probably a certain extent of theoretically people like hiding what's going on in themselves.
And by the way, obviously we all know the big elephant in the room, Biden, like within the last week said the pandemic is over.
Yeah.
Like, I just feel sorry for the people that are like, oh, it is? Okay. Well, and then take the mask. Like, I just feel sorry for these people. I'm sorry. Like,
so, are you sure?
Right. I mean, seriously. Like, I genuinely
just waiting for somebody to tell me.
No, I just feel bad. And again, just in case you don't understand history, I'm not just saying this as a jokester trying to bust balls about people and why they wear masks. Like, when you understand history and the way government forces work, it's very obvious that, like, wait, you waited for your president to tell you to take something off of your face on your body, or wait, you know, or waited for you to get this needle until they said yes. Oh, you can get a booster now. And then they run and say, OK, I'll get the shot. Like, do you understand how dangerous that is to wait for an authority figure, especially when it comes to your own bodily autonomy? I'm talking to the camera. That's all. Like, look at it through a historical lens. You are operating in a very dangerous place if that's what you're waiting for.
You are lemmings following the group off the cliff.
Seriously.
Yeah. And don't think it's
scary stuff. And by the way, that doesn't mean
we're not just ball busting.
I don't hate you if I see you have a mask.
No, we're not ball busting here.
If anything, I feel a little bad. I'm like,
which is what I said. I said, this isn't a ball busting session. This is actually, it scares me that the masses have been able to be acquired mentally from the power.
And there was political timing for when he was going to say that as well. Don't think there was.
Of course.
Yeah.
Well, but these dudes. Well,
they're drowning in the midterm polls.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
When you see an otherwise like normal guy that you would hang out with at the bar with, you know, wearing a mask and doing all that. I mean, what does he do when he hears a bump in the night downstairs with his, does he call the police, hide, lock the doors? Yeah. Like,
well, no, it's
you just, and I go downstairs. We're like, ooh, maybe this is it. I hope I get to protect my house.
I know how you
know. Do you know
who I can see? What does that guy do? Yeah. Like, hey, he doesn't have a gun.
Joe wishes to hear shattered glass in his downstairs.
Do you know who I could see still wearing the mask, and I would understand more? A couple of the people who have scathed through this whole thing without COVID.
That's actually funny.
There's probably
he puts his mask on how do you know they didn't before have it? He goes downstairs.
Well, I'm saying in their brain, if like they've not had it the whole time. The other half is they're going to be like, well, I'm one of the people who can't get it, so I'm long.
But here's what we have to remember in logically and rationally. COVID is still here. I'm going to get COVID again. I'm going to get COVID-19 again in my body. That's a fact.
Yeah, I believe
so
I
are
just
you,
had it.
And so the hell are you. Like, that is a factual statement.
But
okay, I'm going to get the flu again. I'm going to get a cold again.
As Lord Fauci said in the 80s or 90s in that interview, the best defense against any disease is getting it once and getting over it.
Well, that's when that worked as a narrative. Now there's a different narrative.
Of course, that's the joke.
Here's the thing. Again, we talk politicians. Everything ages well if you're always standing in truth. You don't have to worry about what you said 5, 10, 15, 20 years ago. And speaking of, like you said, that Biden said that for a reason, the pandemic is over. You're absolutely right. And by the way, just pay attention. Everybody, everything his administration does from here until November 8th is a strategy to gain further votes for the midterms.
It is like
literally like
it's already scripted.
Watch it like a freaking movie and you'll see this. Everything they say and do has to do with how do I get
like a chart
for the midterms.
Okay, how do people respond to this? Go this way or go this way.
That's right.
Then how do people go this way? Go this way. This is our strategy.
Not for the people, for votes.
I said that
to stay in power.
That's where my hope for democracy really is getting chipped away. That whole thing,
it's not for the people, it's for power.
It starts 2 years early, three years early.
Right.
And that wasn't, that was not Trump. No. His people around Trump might have done that, but it was never his.
We're always in an election cycle now, almost.
Always.
Like, right. I mean, there's obviously big elections every 2 years, midterms in the big
presidential. Our election cycle is like construction in Chicago.
It's just happening.
It's just shifted. How does anything get done? It's just a different place.
Huh? I mean, I know it's part of the deal, but how does anything really get done?
I agree with you. We're spending 70. These people are spending 70% of their time, money, energy, and effort on the election cycle and not solving our problems.
Intensely wasted resources.
Sadly, we, meaning the people, are fueling it.
Intensely wasted resources is what it is.
Yeah.
And it's the opposite of capitalism, right?
Most of them are raising money to campaign as opposed to solving problems for the citizens.
It's really upsetting.
Okay. So
it's bad.
Yeah,
I hate it.
Where are we here on time? Curious.
I mean, we're getting up there. 40 minutes or so.
40 minutes. Okay. We didn't get into as much as I thought, but that's okay because that's what this show does. We do a lot of beautiful things in a lot of beautiful ways.
Hey, can we talk about the monarchy at all? The queen dying?
No.
No,
not a big deal.
Boring.
Nick's got to get on one other topic.
Here's one from MarketWatch.com. Let's see this headline. And again, all I know is the headline. I know nothing about the article, and these two have never heard anything about it, which is good. Authenticity, etc. The next financial crisis may be already brewing, but not where investors might think. So as the Fed prepares to kick its balance sheet runoff into high gear, some on Wall Street are worried that the thinning treasury market liquidity could create a perfect storm. Growing number of traders, academics, and bond market gurus are worried that the $24 trillion market for U.S. Treasury debt could be headed for a crisis as the Federal Reserve kicks its quantitative tightening into high gear this month. With the Fed doubling the pace at which its bond holdings will roll off its balance sheet in September, some bankers and institutional traders are worried that already thinning liquidity in the Treasury market could set for economic catastrophe.
I understood about half of that.
I was going to say, does that mean nobody can bail out the government?
Maybe 60%.
That's what I got. Nobody can bail out the government.
Here's what I'm going to refer
to. I did read that the Fed is looking to raise another
rates.
Another point, or something.
3/4, but most people think up to a point.
We don't know. It's a great way to keep things,
it has to be done.
It's unfortunate, but then you just have to modify your strategy, and I already know what I'm going to do.
It's so absurd.
A lot, like, for example, I've been flipping a lot of extra homes this past couple of years, but now with the rates going up, one of the modifications I'll be doing is probably buying and keeping a lot of more of those single families that I flip and holding them as rental properties, because for a long-term portfolio hold, that can make sense.
I'm going to be keeping some of my cash and waiting.
Yeah, well, that too. You want to stay liquid.
Eventually going to provide an opportunity.
You want to stay liquid. But for me in the rental game, I'm just going to keep more of my deals as opposed to maybe flipping them, because there's not as many buyers out there. But if I buy at a discount and hold it, rents are staying strong. Okay. Yep. And we go from there.
There's not as many people building. So there still are going to be buyers of good houses.
Which is right, because inventory still, we still have an inventory shortage of homes. Whether the rates go up and less buyers, person to home ratio is still lopsided. We need more homes for person.
Like, somebody was telling me yesterday, like a juncture box. It's like an electrical juncture box. It's something every new home needs. We literally can't get them.
Oh, no, you can't get them. So everything's called a shutoff.
Yeah.
Or some guys call it a pole. But it's the box that holds the meter.
Yeah.
The box is supplied by the electrician.
Yeah. There's like
WPS or We Energy comes and actually installs the meter. Those boxes you cannot get. Guys will have their entire building done. Everything wired inside.
So what do?
They wait 14 months for that.
Nothing.
So an extension cord.
So there's no occupancy?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
No, these are new homes. New homes that no one can even live in.
That sounds extremely dysfunctional.
Everything is done, and you're sitting there, guys, waiting 9 months, 6 months, 14 months.
And you're just sitting in your apartment paying rent while this house that you built is, you just cannot move into with your family.
Correct. Right. And by the way,
that's also builders who do it for a living.
This box is like $400. This isn't like...
Where is it made?
There's a million of them. It's just a part. It's just like saying we can't get
why,
screwed.
I don't know why we can't get it. Is it American production or China production? I believe that's what Nick was probably asking.
You would think it would be like, it would take one guy to be like, hey, we need more electrical shutoff boxes. And within a week, he'd have his machine. He's factory recalibrating and be pumping those suckers out 1,000 an hour.
But think about the mask with COVID. We couldn't do it. For some reason, it just couldn't come out. Or here's the hand sanitizer.
Here's my guy up north. Luckily, I hired an electrician because I knew this was going to be an issue. So we hired an old-timer master electrician.
Really?
And I called him and he's like, I might have a few of those.
Wow.
Like, he anticipated this. He knew. And so we paid a premium for it, but we were able to put our electricity right in. But that's a real thing, dude.
Good for him.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
you imagine, especially with running your business, you have two or three developments. You're on a time schedule. These need to be filled. Money's going out the bank. And now you're sitting on your hands for 14 months.
No, that would drive me nuts. So here's the deal.
It can bankrupt people. The stupid thing.
Well, real quick, Nick, and I'm sorry, I know you got to go, but it's like that building. Where is it? In West Bend or something? That lady, they told her to tear down the building. So it was going to fall in. Do you remember hearing the story?
Where was it?
It wasn't in West Bend. It's like a 36 unit. Basically, the city is saying you have to raise it, meaning RAZE, tear it down.
Right.
$1.2 million. And not only do you have to do it, and it's been vacant because everyone had to get out, you have to pay for it.
What?
Yeah. And it's been in, she's trying to sue back, but this is
That does sound familiar now.
She must be insured.
I feel like I've read about that.
Yeah. She said bankruptcy is probably her only way out, but you're seeing what happens with the trial first.
Wow.
I was thinking about us.
Unbelievable.
Don't have to deal with any of these problems on that idea of mine and what we're going
to
do in the future.
Well, here's one thesis we have to, which Trump tried to keep, moving forward, is we need to make everything here. We need to make antibiotics here. We need to make electrical boxes here. We need to make everything here. Everything here, period. Depending on foreign sources, especially foreign adversaries for our antibiotics. I mean, let's go back to basic principle here.
Maybe what some luxuries, but not our, like, the main things we need.
Right, exactly.
Okay, you want to buy an Italian purse for $4,000?
Yeah.
That, fine.
Correct. That's totally correct. Exactly. But for basic human needs to depend on foreign sources, and again, foreign adversaries at that, to me, this is why populism and nationalism is rising. Like, Donald Trump represents he's a populist nationalist, America first. That is a real thesis
put a negative moniker on that word nationalism.
It's just saying
because some negative people have used it in the past. Fine. But the definition is being patriotic to the country you belong to.
Wait. Which, by the way, is a, which is also
a virtue.
I've listened to this and studied it and used my own brain to think. And if I were Vladimir Putin, I'd probably be doing a lot of the same shit. Like Russia first.
Oh, right.
They make it very damn clear. Russia first. Okay. Am I apologizing for everything Putin is and does? No. I'm simply saying from a just a general macro standpoint, it's America first. Wait. Of course it's America first. Nick,
let me ask you a real question.
Of course it is. What are we thinking?
Let me ask you a real question.
We wouldn't have to say it because it should be the standard to where America first shouldn't even have to come out of our mouths as a campaign slogan. It should just be the thing all already know.
Like maybe saying the Pledge of Allegiance every morning in school for our entire lives.
Like, yes. Of course America
back
first.
Back up. Serious question for both of you. How did we get here, first of all? Is it due to selfishness that we got here?
It's due to power and tyranny.
Well, wait. Is it due to selfishness? Is it due to the dollar that all this stuff went away from America to begin with because more money could be made? So are we is greed why we're going through this now?
Yeah, it's cheaper to go to Asia.
It's cheaper to go to Asia.
But now the pendulum has to come back. Well, which, by the way,
eroded so slowly that we didn't realize we were swinging the pendulum that far.
The good news
but
about
now, most people, we wanted to save a few bucks, but I like to believe that most people, I would spend a few bucks more to know it was made in America.
Well, now we say that.
Especially if we were incentivized.
And hindsight is, 2020.
Here's the deal.
And was it a few bucks or was it a lot of bucks?
Well, it's significant, but we can change all that. Here's the deal. In nature,
just a question.
Equilibrium does somehow have its way of coming. Like in all of nature. I mean, look at even just the parties, like the far left went so nuts. Now everybody's going to the right. And so my point is equilibrium is going to have its place. And I do think that's the reason a guy like Donald Trump, a nationalist populist, rose so fast is because things went so far off the rails the other way. Something's always going to bring equilibrium. Now we went to China for all this shit and we feel the pain of it. So naturally we're like, this is so painful. We're just going to do this shit here now. And more people are jumping on board with that. And, you know, could there be policy that says, hey, so-and-so, you're going to get the tax break. And Trump was starting this. He brought Carrier back from, I think, Canada.
Oh, there should be, too.
So the point is like, hey, stay here and we'll make sure you're financially tax incentivized to do so.
For you.
And those are the kind of policies that should be in place.
That was the number one reason I loved Trump. Number one.
Bring
that
it all back.
That was my number one
that
reason.
Was one of his
bring it all back.
Yeah. And he's correct. There is no debate on that. How do you debate we should still have our shit made in China? Who has a logical answer to defend that other than the greed that got us there in the first place? There is no other answer at this point. Give me one. I'll listen. Please make a comment. I'll listen to that. That was
the
number one
reason. The other reason is I don't like feeling like, I'll just say it. I don't feel like feeling like a pussy.
Okay.
Like I'm not here a warmonger and hoping to get in skirmishes and blah, blah, blah. And we should fight everybody and be a bully of the world. But I don't like this whole, they bombed our embassy. Well, maybe we'll put a sanction. No, screw you. We're going to send a few cruise missiles through your front door.
It goes back to raw human nature.
You touch us. How about we just do this? We punish you so badly that you never touch us again. And then there's no violence.
Yeah.
Like I don't like pussyfooting around and looking like a wuss.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have anything to do about bravado. It has to do about overall safety.
I mean, the
feeling of safety for mine.
We were safe.
Me and mine.
We were safe. But
the issue is.
Yeah, because no way Putin would have invaded
Everybody stood down.
He would have been like, and maybe it's because they thought Trump was crazy and a maniac with his finger on the button. I don't know. But it doesn't matter why they thought
stood
it. They still stood down.
They did. They completely disengaged.
I take that into account. A lot of people think, like, Joe loves guns. He's a crazy, probably a prepper sitting in his room hoping that this. No. But I plan for the worst and hope for the best.
And the threat of use is enough to neutralize your opponent. Think about it.
Absolutely.
The threat of use. If someone genuinely knows what you have going on in your house, the knowledge of that alone is enough to neutralize the majority of your threats who know you. Now, yes, there's a random burglar who doesn't know you.
Right.
But if you have a true opponent who wants to attack your residence with your family, they're going to skip it.
Oh, okay. I just saw that 310-pound guy get out of his truck with his German Shepherd with a gun case.
That's only the beginning.
Maybe I'll go to the next house.
Yes. No, seriously, though. It's just like the nuclear stalemate. Like, we have buttons that we can press, and the thought of that is enough to neutralize the opponent.
So all this economic stuff is very important to me, obviously, because it affects our day-to-day way we live. But when I vote, it is a big factor for me of, who do I feel has the cojones to do what needs to be done when the shit really hits the fan?
Who am I safest under?
And a lot of people are like, that's not really going to happen. And you're right. It probably won't. I hope it doesn't, of course.
But it's also a dangerous statement to say it won't.
If it does.
Yeah.
This is
well. How about this? Who buys insurance?
Poo poo that. That's really important shit.
The people, same people that say that buy insurance. What are you buying insurance for? Is your house going to burn down?
Not
the
answer likely.
Is no. You
not
still likely. Send the prick $700 a year to insure it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
That's how this works.
Yeah.
In case it happens, I'm good.
If you know Putin's threats from this morning ever came, they're not. It's hot air. But if they ever came true and he sent a attacked us or whatever. Can you imagine the deliberate? It would be 3 months before we did anything and it would fizzle off. There'd be no retaliation. It would be, to me, it'd be embarrassing.
Yeah.
And I think it would weaken our republic.
Yeah. Well, dude, it goes back to the
simple. Because every other nation would be like, well, America's not going to do shit.
It's all human nature. Even the governments are run by humans who have human nature. It's the schoolyard bully. Like, you know, the kid gets picked on, push, push, push. But all of a sudden that kid literally decks the bully in the face.
Gets in the weight room and 3 months later.
That's kind of the end of bullying. Like
right.
Naturally, like watch every movie when the kid stands up to the bully the physically, best. It is over. Like 100% of the time.
There's a couple like, YouTube videos. All right,
dude, I'm good. I'll find another weakling to pick on.
There's a couple YouTube videos of just type in when you get home, like standing up to bully. Oh man, there's a couple like real video shots.
I would love that. Yeah.
Nerdy fat kids are like getting literally pushed and the kid just picks the kid up or just throw.
Yeah.
Bullying
champion
over.
Yeah, there's no debate. It's finished in
from
that
this
second.
Point forward to eternity.
That's right.
Never being bullied again.
And that's no different on this geopolitical level.
It isn't.
It really is no different.
Sorry, that's the way it works, but it is.
Well, we're not. It's objectively. It's fact. Like when you have retaliation, aggressive retaliation for an action, you're just going to think twice. And it's just same with the example with someone coming to your house.
You can believe in that premise without being pro-violence.
Right.
I don't want that to happen.
It's actually anti-violence. Yes. It's saying, I want the violence to stop. So I'm going to show you a method that's so aggressive that I terminate all violence moving forward. I mean,
Reagan's mentality.
It's not violence. It's anti-violence.
Fucking
okay.
Reagan.
So here we go. We didn't get in everything we wanted to, but that's okay. This is Alpha Uncut. Make sure you leave a comment on YouTube and like and subscribe there. But more importantly, too, also leave us a rating and review on the platform iTunes. Obviously, you can listen to us on Stitcher, Spotify, Google Podcasts, all that stuff. We appreciate the listeners. We skipped a week or two. I think we had some audio problems last week. Dino messed up the whole show. It's crazy. I don't even know. It's all his fault. I'm kidding. We had a bad cord, and actually, we had a lot of stuff prepared, and it died. So sorry about last week. But share the show with your friends if you like it, and leave comments. If you like this content, you have to show us that with likes, subscribes, shares, and
or requests
and
things to talk about.
Correct. And yeah, comment things you'd like to talk about, guest opportunities. We always talk about that. And rating and reviews. Okay. So this is Alpha Uncut, the uncut podcast that talks about, as you just saw, a lot of different topics. We love capitalism, entrepreneurship. We love America. We're pro America. We're pro intrigue, curiosity, and free thinking. If you really break it down, that's what we're about. And we love it. And we love talking about it. Without free thought, we're all robots. Who wants a robotic world? I don't. Okay. So we're going to sign off here. Joey, he's out. Dino, we're out. We will see you guys next time.